a little cup of, just in case somebody brought a little flour.
Yeah.
Well, we have a flower tonight. Oh, Julio, you don't have to leave. Oh, he had to get a hug from Arnie. Arnie. Somebody very special tonight's going to share her thoughts with us. Somebody that every one of you love. And I love, and I know she, at least once a day, she makes God jump up and clap his hands up there. Not only is she a mommy and a wonderful mommy to two little girls, she has a husband that adores her and she adores him. Just a perfect little family sitting here in the front row. And everybody here, I think maybe that good-looking guy back there that I've already forgot his name, but I knew him years ago, he said. He just let himself grow old and I didn't recognize him. But anyhow, everybody, get ready to fall in love with our Jody. Yay!
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
No, it's just nice to get here and share your thoughts about God, how you feel, what it's like to you.
I think Millie knew that I had something to say before I knew I had something to say. So that's always interesting. You know, and actually, I have it's kind of an add-on to the last talk, because the last talk we talked about, or I talked to you about, we talked about being yourself, you know, and knowing who you are and kind of living in who you are. And so I guess this maybe would be the next step, possibly, or a step toward helping you know who you are. So first I wanted to know, though, remember the... Oh, everybody remembers the blackout. Hi, JJ. Glad you came. So I want to know what you guys did in the blackout. Just tell me what you did. What'd you do during the blackout?
We took my roommate and we went walking down University. Me not thinking, oh, we can walk down there and see the lights.
Wow, so you got out and walked around the neighborhood. What else? Anybody else?
We lit candles and played board games all night.
Yay.
So much fun.
Yay!
We put a table up on our driveway and the neighbors came over and played
games. Wow. Hey! So you made some money? Hallie?
Incredible amounts of stars.
Yes. Yes. Somebody else had something. Oh, Viv, what'd you do?
So, we lit candles and we played heaven.
Yep, played board games. Yeah.
We lit candles and I played music.
Ooh. Oh.
I played my guitar until everybody got sleepy.
Excellent. So, I enjoyed that night. That was a really good night. I personally was lucky to be working had an off-site meeting that day over on Coronado, and left the meeting at like 3:35, and I was driving across the bridge, and Veronica called me and said the power went out. I was like, oh, okay, you know, and didn't really think much of it, and then I talked to Vince, and he said, no, the power went out. It's really out. And then I started to notice, you know, the melee on the freeway, you know, the when the traffic lights go out and everybody's got to stop, it kind of... So getting home was a little bit rough, but once I got home, we did pretty much everything that you guys said. We went outside and talked to our neighbors. We met somebody who we didn't know. Well, the neighbor across the street, his girlfriend, Sarah. We didn't know her name, so now we know Sarah's name. People walking through the neighborhood. We looked at the stars. We played board games. There was a lot. I mean, we had plenty of hours to do all that kind of stuff. And I just thought that was really cool. And the stars, wow. And to have somebody else mention, like, the absence of that white noise. You know, I know the satellites were probably still bouncing, you know, but besides that, the big towers of the, you know, all those were off. And how nice that must have felt for our bodies, you know, even though we may not have been able to recognize what it felt like not to have that white noise. But it felt good. That night was good. And I keep thinking back to that, and I keep saying things like, can we just turn off that? Can we just turn off the grid like once a month? Yeah. Just turn the grid off. Think how much power we would save, you know? So that, and the blackout's a perfect opportunity to paint a picture of kind of like what, you know, being yourself and then being part of a church family or being part of a family. And also what I actually ended up learning in a class that I'm taking this semester. And it was only in chapter one, so that was pretty interesting. It's what my textbook calls civic engagement, which is membership in social groups or organized social interaction in a society. And that, that it could be anything from bowling to being on a board of directors to volunteering to feeding the homeless or volunteering in the hospice or coming to church, you know. So again, like, remember we talked about last time, we looked at that picture of everybody crammed into that bathtub. There's too many kids in this tub. And we talked about discovering who you are and that we're all part of God and we're all part of this whole universe that's God. And we're all bubbles in God's bathtub. So kind of leading up to the fact that we're here together, you know, we're all in this together. So whether you know who you are, or you're just discovering who you are, or if you have no idea what the heck I'm talking about, the fact that we're in this bathtub with everyone else pretty much tells me that we have everything to do with everyone and everything around us. Millie tells us that all the time. we experience the connection when we come to church, when we go to a class, when we go to work, we spend time with friends or family. Coming to church on Wednesdays, coming to church on Sundays. Millie's class, we experience a lot of how we're connected in Millie's class. Who can agree with that one? Woo! So our level of engagement in the world and with each other affects the health of our society and democracy overall. So the collective value of our engagement in the world around us is referred to as social capital. So it's everything all put together. And is it high? Is it low? Economists and political scientists measure the graphs and charts, and I have a few statistics that are kind of interesting, but it's just basically we're all connected, social capital. So like even the political scientists, okay, they might not be religious, but they're getting it. We're all connected. Even just by studying our past and our present, we're getting it. We're connected. So let's see. There was a little bit more in the textbook, and the authors, Bronworth and Stadelman, I'll say, they say, essentially, the more people interact with others in volunteer organizations, outside of their private homes and families, again, anything from bowling to board of directors, the better prepared to act in the best interest of society as a whole. We are. What's important is that one has the experience necessary to take into account the interest of others in the community. So by interacting with each other and being in groups and loving each other for our diversity, remember we talked about diversity last week, then we're building this community, we're building this social capital, and we're preparing ourselves to make decisions for ourselves and for others that are going to be, for our highest good. Yay! So congratulations, by being here tonight, you're increasing social capital. You're also extending your life because according to Robert Putnam, author of Bowling Alone, who wrote a book all about the decline of, the collapse and revival of American community, says, joining and participating in one group cuts in half your odds of dying next year. Yay! Congratulations. That might explain it. Okay, so last time I talked about Corinthians 12, and I'm going to say it again, because it now not only does it apply to us being individual, but it applies to us interacting as groups. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. So our awesome piece of a machinery, not only just us individually, but then as a group in this body of Christ, how amazing we must be all together collectively. The talent, the skill, the experience that we must all have together. And so we talked about, you know, if you don't have a foot, then somebody else has got a foot, you know. I need your ear, and you need my shoulder, right? Vice versa. Woo! And Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. So as we... as we recognize that we're part of each other, and then we will always need to interact with each other in some way. What if we all had the experience necessary to take into account the interests of others in the community? Woo, you know? And then what if everybody did? What if, well, I'll get to that. I'm not trying to convince you guys to join a group. You know, like I said, just coming here is, you're doing more than some people do, you know. If you're inspired to volunteer after I'm done talking tonight, that's great. But do it because you want to do it, and not because I'm trying to guilt trip you into it, because I'm not. I don't want to tell you what to do. I just think this is really interesting stuff. And I'm just sharing, and you guys get to decide how you feel about it. But here's some interesting statistics from bowlingalone.com, which is the sister or the website to the book, trends over the last 25 years. Attending club meetings, 58% drop. Family dinners, 43% drop. Having friends over, 35% drop. Interesting. Back to the blackout. So can we do it on purpose once a month? Now allow for rush hour traffic to be done. Let everybody get home first. And then turn off the main switch. But now the question is that what it takes to get us to wake up? I mean, is that what it takes to get us to play board games? Is that what it takes to get us to go outside and talk to our neighbors? You know, I'm just as guilty as anybody else, because I sometimes don't go outside my door when I come home, you know? So it was a good lesson for me. I'm sure it's a great lesson for all of us. I have this picture in my mind of these rows and rows of houses, and every morning the garage door comes up and a car drives out and goes somewhere, and then every night the car comes back, garage door closes. And there's just rows and rows. I mean, think about it. Think about all the rows and rows of houses just in your neighborhood, and then times a million. What are we all doing inside of our houses? I mean, we might be watching TV, we might be reading a book, we might be playing board games, we might be calling somebody. So it's not to say that we're not doing something, but it's just interesting to me how there is just kind of a lack of who are your neighbors, and is the neighborhood watch sign down the street rusted because it's from 1972? You know, we're getting new ones in our neighborhood. Somebody at the end of the street, because of a little bit of increased activity, of little robberies, little petty robberies, said, okay, guys, we're going to revive this neighborhood watch. And the whole neighborhood got together, and they were going to buy new signs, pass out phone numbers and all that. So, and that was all before the blackout even happened. Yeah, that was kind of interesting. But things are looking up. Remember last time I passed out that generational information? So the millennial generation, those born between 1980 and 1995 are actually bringing up the statistics of participation in society. Let's see, volunteer rates for teenagers declined from 1974 to 1989. The percentage of teenagers who volunteered doubled between 89 and 2005. In 2005, 76% of high school seniors volunteered in their community, up from 65% in 1976. Since 2000, the number of Peace Corps volunteers has increased by 20%. Let's see, in 2007, UCLA Survey of American Freshmen reported that 34% of high school seniors discussed politics frequently in high school. 85% of millennials reported an interest in keeping up with national affairs. So people are waking up. You know, people are becoming alert. And it's kind of that shift that some people talk about when they come up here. That's kind of exciting. So I have a gift tonight, another present, which is it's 150 ways we can engage in the world around us. So Millie says we need to be alert. And that's alert, and she's talking about alert to spirit, but she's also talking about being alert to the world around us, because that's how we get the God stories, you know? That's how we notice when we're being helped. And we can say thank you because we're right there in the moment, and noticing it right there. So, and I think, let's see, number 100, tell friends and family about social capital and why it matters. Yay! Number 100! I just found that. my idea is, besides what's on this list, and you'll probably find what I'm about to say on this list too, how about if we just start by being kind to one another? How will you behave the next time the power's out and the traffic light is down? Are you going to let somebody in? Are you going to block them out? Are we going to let them in even though we think they could have planned it better? Way back a couple miles ago? You know, oops, I forgot I need to get off here. Whoops. You know, that stunt. But, you know, can we still love them anyway? How about if we're sitting in our car and we just relax? And we just be right there in that moment now. And we could send somebody we love a thought. We can think of something nice we could do or say to someone when we get home. We can recognize that everybody in that traffic jam is in God's bathtub with us. And that they're worthy of our love and they're worthy of our respect. Whatever your level of engagement, however you engage, be who you are. And we talked about that last time. Be who you are. Then be there for somebody else in some way. Whatever way you can, like Millie says, a smile, a hug. Sometimes it's money, sometimes it's a helping hand, sometimes it's just a shoulder to lean on. But no, it's going to come back to you heaped up and running over in your area of need. And a lot of that social interaction is about reciprocation, you know, giving, not expecting anything in return, paying it forward. So Yogi Berra. If you don't go to somebody's funeral, they won't come to yours. And let's say Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, is that how you say it? Colossians? This is Colossians 12, chapter 3, 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing of one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That kind of sums it up. And then I have this favorite kids singer guy. His name is Hap Palmer. And he has a lullabies. So this is just one of my favorite songs. It's called Spinning on the Same Ball. And I'm not going to sing it because I'm not going to sing it. Somewhere, boys and girls in a far-off land are waking up just as we say goodnight. They may not look like you or do the things you do, but within we're very much alike. The sadness in a tear, the comfort of a hug, are feelings every child can understand. And laughter is a sound known all around the world, and the meaning is the same in every land. Because we're all spinning on the same ball, sailing through the same vast space. We're all spinning on the same ball, living in the very same place. One more. Hunger knows no language, thirst no boundary. They feel the same wherever people live. And a simple act of care can happen anywhere. We see the need and take the time to give. Thank you for taking the time for me. Hey, Viv, you want to be in charge of handouts?
Yay!
Yeah. Oh, wait. There you go.